Grace, mercy, and peace be from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Heroes of faith. Heroes come in many different packages, many different sizes. This week I was listening to KTLY 94.9 Christian radio station on my way up driving from Arlington. And I was surprised that this lady was the number nine caller, because if you're number nine caller, you usually win something. And this call was to win 1 month's free air conditioning or your electric bill being paid. So I thought, hey, I would like to win that just as well, but I didn't call. But what she did share is that her air conditioner went out 2 weeks ago. So obviously she had an additional expense that was not planned on. She did share at the end of the phone conversation that she and her son went to Chick-fil-A, and as they were coming out of the restaurant, they were in the car and backing out, her son said, "There's a baby in the back seat." She said, "Well, no, it's probably a doll in the back seat." And he says, "No, it's a baby." So she gets out of the car with her son, and sure enough, it's a baby in the back seat. He runs into Chick-fil-A, and the rest is history. That baby is saved. Now, this little boy, 9 years old, would not have been a hero to everybody in Chick-fil-A that day, because he had already left, and nobody gave him a standing ovation. But because he saw this baby and went back into Chick-fil-A and saved the baby, he was a hero to everyone at Chick-fil-A, and especially the parents of that baby. You see, he didn't plan on being a hero that day, because many times we see our children as zeros until they impress us enough to be a hero. Let's face it, Mom and Dad, don't we? Or maybe sometimes we look at them as heroes and they show us that they are zeros. You begin to understand that. But it goes in reverse just as well, because as parents or grandparents, a lot of times they look up to us as a hero and we don't have time for them, and so that we are the zero to them. God puts us in a specific place at a specific time. That was written in the book of Acts. We're not here by accident. Our whole hero series began with Elijah. And in John chapter 5, verse 17, it says, "Elijah was a man just like us." There was nothing supernatural about Elijah. Even though I think he's a pretty cool guy and he does some pretty supernatural things. But guess what? He was a sinner, just like us. He doubted God, just like us at times. But he was a man of faith, just like us as well. So this morning, as we continue our sermon series, we're looking at Peter, a working man with his family. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. So I take this piece of scripture to show you how Jesus introduces himself to Peter, Andrew, James, and John, who are his fishing buddies. Is that they had been fishing all night. They're coming in, and Jesus said, "Did you catch anything?" They say, "No." Jesus gets into the boat and says, "Let's go out into the deep." Now, I don't know much about fishing, but I'm guessing is that at the morning time, the fish are not out there because they're probably in towards the shore feeding. But they go out into the deep, let down your nets, because you say it, Jesus will do it. And the net is so full that the partner boat has to come, and they throw all the fish in the boat, and they're full. And at this, Peter gets at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful human being." Do we recognize this as well, that we are sinful human beings? Lord, you shouldn't be around us, but you come to us. Just like you came to Peter, you come to us in our sin, in our brokenness. And you fill our lives with your spiritual food. You allow us to see the miracles that you do in our lives and the lives of others. You see, we are very blessed people. Peter was a husband because we know he had a mother-in-law. Probably had children just as well. But Jesus said, I will make you a fishers of men. Now today, to make this politically correct, you'll be a fisher of people. But isn't that true for each and every one of us? No matter how old you are, male or female, child, we are all fishers of people. Because we are the church, and the church is about sharing the joy of knowing Jesus Christ. Because there's a community out there of sinful human beings who need a Savior, and His name is Jesus the Christ. Well, Peter confesses Jesus as the Messiah. We saw this last week. Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of God, Son of the living God. And from our gospel lesson today, Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. We recognize as believers that there isn't anybody else out there who can save us from our sin. No one. We can't even save ourselves. There are times that we are the heroes of faith, like this little boy who found this baby in the back seat of a car. And there are times when we confess Jesus Christ with our entire being, that we love Him so much that we'll do anything for Him. But there is a time of judgment for all people. And in our gospel lesson last Sunday, we talked about the gates of Hades will not prevail against the church. The gates of Hades is where the dead are. And there are spiritually dead people in our community. And the definition of a spiritually dead person is a person who does not know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Remember the thief on the cross? Lord, remember me in your kingdom. And Jesus says, today, you will be with me in paradise. I want to share with you today that there's a personal judgment, a private judgment, and a public judgment. And that public judgment is when Jesus returns and we all are raised. But in this private and personal judgment, the book of Hebrews chapter 9 says, just as man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment. You see, there are no do-overs when your life is over. You can't go back and say, Lord, I wish I believed in Jesus. I wish somebody would have told me about Jesus. I wish I would have listened when someone told me about Jesus. Because when we die, our spirit, our life force, there is a personal, private judgment. It's either to heaven or to hell. There is no in between. Why we are here is to be the messengers of the good and great news that we know, that Jesus is alive, that He is our Lord and Savior. Peter rebukes Jesus and Jesus' response because Peter doesn't believe that Jesus needs to go and die in Jerusalem and be risen from the dead. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said. This shall never happen to you. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. Do you not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. This Greek word for stumbling block is to make me sin. That's a stumbling block. Jesus knew his mission. His mission is to save the world. Our mission as the church is to tell the world about Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Jesus accuses Peter of being in collusion with Satan. Get behind me, Satan! How do you think Peter felt when Jesus told him that he was in collusion with Satan? Would that have reminded him as, Lord, I'm a sinful human being, get away from me? Now, I'm sure glad Jesus hasn't called me in collusion with Satan, even though I do sin. Even do I take myself and make myself foremost in my life at times. Even though I am not faithful to him at times and do my own bidding and sometimes even don't acknowledge him as Lord and Savior. Would you believe is that in the church there are people who are sinful? Would you believe that the people on the outside of the church says, I'm not coming because these people are sinners? And when I hear a person tell me that, I say, does that stop you from going to the grocery store because these people in this church go shopping there? It doesn't stop you from going to the grocery store. It doesn't stop you from going to the gas station. So I don't buy it that you're not going to come to church because they're sinful human beings. Matter of fact, you're a sinner too, just like the rest of us. One of the biggest sins in the church is called gossip. Now, I know no one in this church would ever do that, right? Never share any kind of privileged information. So I try to protect myself as a pastor. When somebody tells me something, I ask, is this public information or do you want me to keep this private? I'm trying to protect myself, but I'm also trying to protect the person as well, because I don't know if I have their permission to go out and share. Maybe there's a reason why so few of our members ask others to pray for them, because they know what's going to happen. It gets out, and they don't want it out in the community or in the church. But we should be smart enough to ask, is this public information? If it's not, it's private, and I keep it private, and I will pray for you, and I will uplift you, I will text you, I will call you, I will let you know that I'm in prayer for you. So I have a nice young lady, her name is Pam, from a different congregation. She has cancer. She has a colostomy bag. She is fighting cancer and fighting for her life. I pray for her every morning and every evening, not because I'm a good person, but because I love Jesus and I love Pam as my sister in Christ. Now, I know that many of you are doing the same thing. You are a hero of faith because you are people of prayer. So understand is that we get two buckets. We get a bucket of gas and a bucket of water. So when you hear gossip, you either can throw the gas on it and really spread it, or you can throw water on it to try to put it out. And the first question you should ask when somebody tells you gossip is, how do you know that is true? And especially for you kids in high school and junior high, because you know gossip happens in school. No, it doesn't happen at all, right? Especially for girls. I know you girls never gossip. Now, I'm not picking on you girls because I know guys gossip just as well. But people can be mean. People can be cruel. We have to be light and salt wherever we are, and especially in schools. When people come and tell you this juicy bit of information about somebody, your first thing is, How do you know that's true? Because if you didn't see it, you're not an eyewitness. Your role is to pour water on the gossip rather than fueling the flame. Peter boasts about himself. He's a very prideful person. But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. Well, we all know Peter was more full of himself at times than he was full of Jesus. And there are times that I'm more full of myself than I am full of Jesus just as well. I'm a prideful person at times. Now, I once said to a very dear friend that I would never, ever weigh more than 190 pounds. Look at me today. I weigh more than 190. Pride gets in the way. There are times when I'm so prideful that I give my word, but I don't keep my word. And what I recognize is that none of you are like me. You're not filled with pride. You don't say things that you can't do. Just like Peter, he couldn't do it by himself. St. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6 to put on the full armor of God. You see, Satan has been tempting people for thousands of years. And if you think you're smarter than Satan, get over yourself. I got to tell you, he's been in the business of tempting people a lot longer than you've been on earth. And he doesn't do a frontal assault on the temptation. No, he just comes beside you. Did God really say that you shouldn't eat this fruit? Or did God really say that if you eat this, you're going to die? Or, you know what, if you eat this, you're going to be just like God. You know, on that pride factor. You begin to see is that Satan comes beside us and says, well, it doesn't matter if I just say a few bad things about this person. It's okay. I mean, everybody else is doing it. You understand. You know, it's like, I'm just one of the group. Now, we've all been there and done these things at times, have we not? In our workplace, as adults, at times we act like high schoolers. And I can tell you that Instagram is like high school. I mean, you're just trashing people right and left. We're bullying people. No, we don't bully. I think we do. Ask your mom and dad. Ask some other adults. I think we are bullies at times. Maybe not you, but other people out there are bullies. We put people down when we should be lifting people up. You see, that's the role of a believer, is to lift another person up. Point out their sin, but don't do it to crucify them. But tell them there is a Savior who has died for their sins. You see, Peter failed himself and the Lord. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken before the rooster crows, "You will disown me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. Failure is not final. I can't tell you how many times I have tried to reconcile a couple, and it has failed. And the reason it fails is not because of me, but because of the hardness of the hearts towards each other. You see, when you get married, you don't say, "I'm going to love you because I hate you." You don't ever say that, right? You don't spend time with the person that you dislike. You spend time with a person that you like. You want them to be your friend. You want them to be more than that if possible. But there's a hardness of the heart in each and every one of us. because we are all sinful, we're all prideful. But Jesus comes and takes our hearts so that we can be more like him, to share the good and great message that even if you sin against me, my role is to forgive you. You see, I have denied Jesus many times. I have thought more about myself than I thought of others. I am a sinful human being, and when we have this quiet time before we publicly confess, I pray, Lord, is help my heart. Help my heart to be more like Jesus. Help me to see the needs of others rather than just seeing the needs of self. Help me, Lord, when I fail to recognize that you're still going to use me as your servant, just like Peter. You see, Peter is left wondering at the tomb. He's left wondering about his faith as well. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb, bending over. He saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. He went away, wondering to himself what had happened. I will tell you, as middle schoolers and high schoolers, is that people will make fun of you because of your faith in Jesus. It didn't happen. Now, I will tell you that if Jesus' enemies could have found his body, they would have. They would have put it on public display. I'm even guessing, since Jesus was so beat up, that they probably looked for a corpse that was beat up. They would have actually shoved a spear through the side of that person, put nail holes in this person, said, "Here's Jesus," if they could have. But God had a different plan. A different plan for humanity that we cannot save ourselves. As it says in our text today, that there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Jesus said it this way, "I am the way, the truth, and life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." So when you have doubts about your faith, go to Scripture, talk with a fellow Christian, have them help you in your doubts to know that there is a Lord who died for you and who rose again. And Peter proclaims Jesus as Lord and Savior after his doubts. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say." Listen carefully. The cross pays for the sins of the world. The tomb is empty. We are Easter people. We are filled with hope. We are filled with the gospel message that there is good news out in a sinful world. Out in a world that disses Jesus, we are proclaimers of the one who loves all people. And as lovers of Jesus, we go out to share the good and great news that Jesus has with our community, with our family, with our neighbors. So I encourage you is to live like a hero, like this young boy who saw a baby dying in the back seat of a heated car. There are neighbors and co-workers and family members who may be open to hearing the message of Jesus. And you may be that person that Jesus sends. Years ago, a lady visited an orphanage, and she asked the director, "Is there a child here that nobody has offered to adopt?" And she said, "Yes, she's 10 years old, not much to look at, and she has a hunchback." And the lady said, "I'd like to adopt that 10-year-old. 35 years later, a person working for the state of Iowa goes into an orphanage for an inspection, and she writes this: "This home is outstanding. It's clean, the food good, the children well cared for, and the atmosphere is unlike anything I've ever experienced. The director, Mercy Goodfaith, has a soul that oozes love. She has such beautiful eyes. I forgot how homely her face was, or that she was hunchback." See that 10-year-old girl that was adopted? She needed to be loved. And she had this lady who loved her in spite of being homely and a hunchback. And God used her to be a director of an orphanage because she knew what young boys and what girls experience that don't have a mom and a dad. You kids, you're blessed. You have a mom and a dad. People who love you have grandparents. You see, we all have moms and dads. We all have grandparents. They may not be here on earth, but at one point in time, they showed us the love of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I have a good friend, Reverend Greg Finke. He writes a blog. I read it every once in a while. And it really spoke to me this week. He talked about one of his new friends living in Central Texas. His name is Rick Landvetter. Rick is slowly dying of cancer and actively living for Jesus. His eye is not only on eternity, but on his moments that he will share with people before he goes to be with Jesus. Greg writes about Rick's prayer, something that he prays every morning because he has learned something from Rick. So this morning, I'd like to teach you Rick's prayer, and I invite you to pray this with me as we close out our message today. We pray together. Lord, I do not know what you want me to do today, but you are with me, so let's go do it. Lord, I probably don't know how to do what you want me to do today, but you are with me, so let's go do it. Lord, I probably don't know what you want me to do today, but you are with me, so let's go do it. When we finish what you want me to do today, it won't be because of me, but because you were with me. So let's go do it. Amen. Let's go do it. We stand for prayer.